Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of All by the Popcorn. I'm Emily.
And I'm Alessandra.
And today, we are talking about the newest, or yeah, this is the newest Marvel movie, isn't it?
It is. It sure is, okay. Buddy.
The Marvels that came out, I believe in November. Is that when it came out? Before November?
Yeah, not too long ago. We have the collection of many different Marvel pieces of media that have come out over the last several years, just kind of conglomerating into a movie. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, Marvel's been crossing over their shows with their movies and stuff, so that's been very fun.
November 10th, that's when it came out. That's what it says.
November 10th. All right. Yeah. So in this movie, we've got Kamala Khan and Captain Marvel, obviously. And who's the Rambo?
Just Monica Rambeau. Yes, which is in the first Captain Marvel movie with just Brie Larson and Samuel L. Jackson that takes place in the 90s. She goes down to Earth, and originally I think she's like a fighter pilot, and her best friend is the mother of Monica Rambeau, who is also in this movie in like the flashbacks and everything, which it's, who is that actress? I recognize her from other things as well.
Yeah. I mean, and then not in flashbacks, spoilers.
Oh yeah. Pretty big, coming out at the end there, which I, you know what, let's just wait till we talk about that, because I have
some thoughts about that.
I do have some thoughts about that, but
and then we do meet Monica again in the WandaVision show. That's where she gets her powers. She goes through the force field that Wanda has set up around the town, and that is how she gets her powers.
Latasha Lynch, that's who it is. And remember, she was fantastic in The Woman King. Do you remember how much we loved her in that?
Oh yeah.
So
good.
She is so good. Yeah, and she in the original Captain Marvel was Maria Rambeau, but we know that she has since died, and we know that because WandaVision, right? Monica is introduced to us in that, and she blipped and then came back, and her mom had died of cancer. So it's pretty sad.
Very sad. Just, oh God, just the worst thing that could possibly happen to you. I mean, a lot of bad things happen to people during the blip, but gosh, to come back and just have your mother be gone, that's really sad.
It is. So her backstory, so they kind of do this weird thing with the three of them where they use Kree technology to like go through each other's memories, and that's how they get to know each other, I think, a little bit better and kind of understand each other without having to like actually have a conversation about it.
Well, sure, if we're gonna get technical about it. Yes. That was definitely a strategy to get these three together, because they really do little to no talking, and when they are talking, it's bickering or arguing. Mm-hmm. So That's definitely a thing that happens.
And we have Kamala, obviously, from her show. And her entire family is in this movie, which is just wonderful because they are just a colorful cast of characters who are just hilarious, especially her mother, who I remember talking about in the first when we talked about Ms. Marvel and just like how funny she is. She's a great actress and they're just adorable. I love them.
Yeah, the family dynamic and the family chemistry in the Ms. Marvel show was so good. It was definitely one of the like the highlights of that show. I remember the ending getting a little convoluted and kind of coming out of nowhere, but
yeah,
but, you know, it was a vibe. It was a vibe, and I was here for it.
So yeah, and I would say that this movie was also a vibe, like. I liked that it was, this is what I have to say about this. Okay, seriously, I've been thinking about this for a while. So
you sent a text to me earlier today and it made me question whether you liked this movie or not. And I was like, oh, is that how it's going to be?
I think I did like this movie. I would say that I liked it a whole lot more than the Ant-Man movie, which was the previous one.
Last Ant-Man movie.
Like
that one was a hot mess.
This was a fun movie. This was just a lot of fun stuff. So like I cannot be angry at that. Like to me, it was exactly what it needed to be, which Carol is the strongest Avenger. Like she has unlimited power. She actually has like the power of the sun within her, right? So it's like she honestly could defeat any bad guy on brute strength if she wanted to. And so mm-hmm. I liked that they mm-hmm. didn't even, that was not the problem. Like the problem wasn't like fighting a big dude or all of his cronies. It was like, oh, you fucked up, Carol, and you need to fix it because you've doomed like an entire planet of people and you need to face what you've done. And also, like, that's going to have repercussions of the entire galaxy, right? And so involving the other two to be your support really helps her have that perspective. She doesn't really have that perspective when she starts, that she could be the one to try to fix something that she had previously fucked up. And she just kind of like nopes out of every situation. She's like, no, you know, what she did with the Kree was she came down, she took their overlord out, and then she left a power vacuum. And then it destroyed their entire sun. And it was like, okay, well, you fucked that up there, Carol. You need to like replace it with something, you know, you need to start a democracy or whatever. I don't know. Like it's just like, it's kind of like she's playing God. Right. So that's what I liked, that we had that introduction of Zawe Ashton as Dar Ben, you know?
Yeah. And it's such a great character dynamic where we have, like you were saying, Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel, is this all-powerful being. And usually when we have these types of beings, sometimes we think they can do no wrong. But to be able to have Carol have flaws and to have done wrong and to be trying to right her wrongs is a very great side of a character to see. That they're not perfect, even though they're this super powerful being that should be able to just do anything and everything and fix anything. And I like... And I want to bring up just the Captain Marvel movies in general. Like, I felt like this movie felt very consistent with her first movie. Like, yes, we kind of see more aliens. We kind of see, well, I mean, we saw the Kree and the Skrulls in the first one.
Yeah.
But, you know, this one seems a bit more, this one seems like it's going out further. Like we're expanding more. But, like, both Captain Marvel movies seem... I don't know the exact word to say, but maybe like humbling. Like they're so simplistic, kind of like in what they're about, but we're dealing with like very complex things, like the Kree that they take over species of aliens. Like, they kind of take them over and bring them into their culture and their...
subjugate them, society. Basically.
Yeah. Subjugate them. And... But it's just like... And you have this super powerful being. There could be, like, more action and just more drama and more... Just, like, more. But there isn't. Mm-hmm. They're, like... They're very... They feel like simplistic, like, humble movies to me.
Yeah. And the first one...
If I'm making any sense at all.
No, yeah. And it also, like, the first one was very grounded because it was in the 90s. So it was like...
Yes,
you know, grounded. And there was a lot of, like, flying involved and not as much CGI, whereas this one was, like, entirely CGI. So, I think when we're in this era, like, what kind of stories are we going to be telling with our characters that only involve our characters? And like you said, like, this one particularly is about Carol and also about, you know, the fact that the Skrulls are still displaced and they're still dealing with that. And, you know, what the kind of future of the Avengers may kind of look like slightly. It's definitely like adjusting. It's not really the same and people don't need the same things anymore. So it's good. I like that about it. Also, the CGI aspect of it felt like definitely less intrusive and horrible like the Ant-Man one did. But, you know, it would have been nice if they were in, like, slightly less CGI-feeling places all the time. Like, I don't know. The only one that really didn't feel so bad was obviously that singing planet.
Yeah, that one felt like an actual set. And, like, and they set people. I mean, a lot of the cats ended up looking kind of clunky.
They did.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And maybe some of the parts in space with all of the warp jumps, whatever mm-hmm. they were called, those things.
Yeah, which is good because they use those in Guardians of the Galaxy too. So it was kind of like good that's how we travel. Like, that's good. I'm glad that it's being used in another, you know, pieces of media because it really wasn't as prominent really in any of the other movies.
No, it definitely was not brought up until like, yeah, the second Guardians movie, I think, is when mm-hmm. they go through one.
Yeah.
And then I don't think there was a mention of one until this movie.
I think that, like, when the Guardians maybe probably picked up, or when Carol got in Endgame, when she got Tony from space, mm-hmm. they probably used that. But, you know, also, at the end of the movie, when Carol is racing towards Monica to try and, like, get her from that big old space rip, time rip thing. She's going, she's flying as fast as she can. But, like, Carol can fly, like, really, really fast. Like, she can get across the galaxy, like...
She can fly at, like, the speed of sound.
I know. So how does she not get to her fast enough? Like, that doesn't really make sense to me. It wasn't that far away.
I mean, it closed and then she was there. So, like, maybe it was just, you know, it was just timing. I mean, it did take her a minute to be like, oh no, Monica's not going to come back.
And well, then... which I figured was because she said when the three of them were planning it out and they were like, okay, we got to close it from the other side. And I was like, oh, so she's going to get stuck over there. Like, I thought that was what we all agreed upon before they went and actually did this.
I thought
thing.
That was part three of said plan.
I know. I was like, well, then obviously she's gonna get stuck because how are you supposed to close it on one side and get through? That's not. You got to be on the whole side. You got to close it the entire time. Like, that's how it works.
Right. Especially how she had to close it. She kind of had to close it like a door. And she had to pull the pieces because they were falling forward and she mm-hmm. had to pull them back. Mm-hmm. So that was something. What exactly is Monica's power? So they try to explain it. Like,
yeah.
The reason their powers got tangled is because they all have powers that have to do with light.
Yeah.
So we have Captain Marvel, who can just shoot beams of light out of herself.
Mm-hmm. Like the sun.
Just like the sun. And then we have Kamala that can like morph it into shapes. Like she can solidify light.
Mm-hmm. Pretty
and
cool.
What and Monica can like turn invisible? She can like use light to turn herself invisible, and she could fly by using light?
She can. I don't think it's really explained other than in techno made up drabble. So
what's her superhero name? Let's see, Monica.
Well, they wanted to call her like just Marvel or something, but like she has like an electrical aspect to her, which brings me back to, so in WandaVision, Monica walks through the like very thick wall of the illusion that the witch, Scarlet Witch, has made, and eventually becomes like all kind of staticky, and her eyes get all blue, and you know, she walks through this thing, and I'm pretty sure that I talked about this in our WandaVision episode all those years ago, but I was like convinced that she was going to be an X-Men out of this situation, and that the X-Men were going to come from their DNA being changed by the Scarlet Witch somehow, right? Which is what the X-Men, they are just, they're mutants, so they're changed in some way, and therefore they have different powers, right? All of them are different. And Storm is somebody who can pull static electricity out of the sky and create, you know, storms and things and lightning and stuff like that. And it's pretty much the same as what Monica can do. And she lands in that universe at the end. Again, spoiler, where we see Beast and then her not mom as a different character.
Her other universe mom.
As Binary. But it's like, literally, they brought back Kelsey Grammer from the like X-Men universe movies to be Beast, which is just honestly, truly like fantastic.
When were they also Beast in another movie?
They were Beast in like the other X-Men movies, X-Men Last Stand.
Okay, I haven't seen any of those.
Oh, well then how would you know?
I wouldn't, that's why I'm asking you.
Oh, yes, they first came up, they were in which X-Men did they show up in first?
Oh, wait, I have seen, like the older ones? I've seen some of the older ones.
Yeah, well, I don't know what you're talking about, there's only...
There are the new ones, too. Like the new X-Men.
The ones after. Not the remakes. Oh, you mean like ones after the first, like the one with Jennifer Lawrence in it and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Those ones.
For sure. I think he was in. Why isn't it showing up in? Oh, is this producer, not actor. Duh. Okay. I am going. Let's see. He was in Toy Story 2. Okay. X-Men The Last Stand in 2006.
Okay.
And then X-Men Days of Future Past.
Oh.
In 2014.
That's the new one, isn't it? One of the new ones. Days of Future Past, that sounds familiar.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think that he was just like a cameo in that. Because the younger Beast is played by... What's his name? From that movie we just watched. The Renfield movie.
Oh, Nicholas Holt.
Nicholas Holt, yes.
Because he is also Beast. Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's what I was initially going to think. And also they used the same, in WandaVision, they used the actor who plays Maximoff's, her twin brother, but he's played by...
The one who's in the new movies, yeah. As Quicksilver.
I'm so sorry, everybody. And literally,
starts with a P. Pete. Evan.
Evan Peters. Evan Peters.
Oh my god!
This is like when you were trying to remember Rufus Sewell's name, and then you just blasted it out like hours later. Texted me. We remembered Rufus Sewell's name, everybody. Okay.
Literally hours, so many hours later. It was like nighttime when I eventually remembered. So what else? Okay, let's talk about the singing planet, because that was an absolute joy.
Yeah, it sure
to
was.
To watch.
Yeah.
And not to mention Prince, what's his name?
Oh, I knew you were going to love him.
Prince, hey, who are you?
Prince Jan.
Oh my gosh.
I know. When he came out, I actually like gasped because he was so gorgeous. I was like, like that.
I was like, what in the fantasy K-drama is happening right now?
Absolutely perfect. And she was the princess of the planet because she was technically married to him.
A marriage of convenience.
A marriage
Shut
of convenience.
Up. And, Shut up.
But
I need fan fiction right now. Shut up.
I do think that she is with Valkyrie though. Like those two really had like.
They definitely
that
had
scene
a, they had
was,
a thing.
They're together. I think it was heavily implied that they're together. Like
there was definitely like some magnetism. There was some tension. There was something there.
There was a yeah. 100%.
There was a lingering look. There was like a longing stare. There was something there.
It's great. No, it's fantastic. I was really excited to see her. She looked fantastic. I mean, every time you see her, but she was wearing like a suit. Oh my god, she's like, you know, the king of Asgard. So, oh, I know, I love her.
Her like kick ass suits and just. She's so hot.
She's too hot. It's really. It's,
she's too hot. I can't even right now.
Like this guy, like Park or Sojourn Park, who played Prince Yon.
And the fact that this planet, he can speak multiple languages, and the multiple languages is singing his words and not singing
and
his
not
words.
Singing. Yeah,
that was so funny. This movie just had like it didn't have many like super funny moments, but when
no,
it did, the very few that it had, they were good.
All of the cats. There is a poster of just cats. There's Goose in the front, and then just. Tons of cats all around Goose.
Oh my gosh. And the scene where like the people you have the intercom going and they're like, let the cats eat you. Let them eat you.
Everybody's
and everyone's running around screaming, just terrified. And it's just this horrifically hilarious scene of just these kittens running around and eating people.
And while Memories from Cats was playing. So
yes.
It was just
Memories from Cats with playing. I like this movie a lot.
Yeah,
like
it's a fun movie. It's a fun movie. And I really liked that all the leads were women, like, except for Nick Fury, really. Like, it's kind of like I don't know what else I would want. They're all fantastic. Like, all four leads. I love them. They go really well together. They're super girl power-y, you know. Kamala is even cuter in this than she was in her show, I think. And her family, too.
I'd say just as cute. I mean, she definitely felt just like consistent to her character in the show and still very cute. I do wish that we've maybe had a bit more time for the three to like have a moment together. I mean, their one moment together was a little traumatizing with the Kree device. And yeah. And it wasn't even that well, but then they kind of had the cute little montage where they were like practicing.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe just like one extra like scene, because it was just it always felt so serious when we had the three of them together, because they had to be planning or training or dissecting their memories.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. And
but the movie was a good length. I liked that it was a little bit on the shorter side, that still felt like I wasn't miss like nothing too important was missing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, oh, we really needed to have a scene for this or for that. Like it really buttoned it up nicely with the length of time that it had. And it didn't feel too short and it didn't feel like too long either. So that's amazing. An hour and 45. That's crazy. Is this like the shortest Marvel movie ever?
Oh, I mean, it's possible. It's not very long. I mean, I'll look it up. Let's see.
It's barely longer than an animated movie.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Shortest Marvel movie. The Marvels. Yeah, Emily.
Wow.
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 It says, at a reported 105 minutes, The Marvels is the shortest movie in the history of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Given the increasingly bloated lengths of recent movies, the short Marvels runtime has become a recurring talking point about the film.
Wow.
Damn, my dude. You really got that.
I mean, it's surprisingly short. Like, that really shocked me, because I was like, damn, these movies are usually on the verge of 3 hours.
Damn. So the other ones are the first Hulk movie, which, The Incredible Hulk, at 1 hour and 52 minutes. Thor the Dark World.
Ed Norton?
Yeah. Thor the Dark World with also 1 hour and 52 minutes. Thor, 1 hour and 54 minutes. Doctor Strange, 1 hour 55, and Ant-Man, 1 hour 58 minutes. So this one is much shorter than the other ones.
Yeah. And that's crazy. Doctor Strange feels like a long movie.
It does.
It does.
Well, it's still a 2 hours.
It's a little slow paced.
Yeah.
But like the pacing. I remember it kind of the pacing being a little slow. I still like the movie, but like just saying. This one felt like it wasn't rushing,
mm-hmm.
but it still felt like it wasn't lagging.
Yeah. Yeah. It I think was less like I don't know, like I feel like the first one had a lot more like visual things to look at or like sense or like sit with, like, you know, it kind of had more locations that felt like there was more stillness in it, and
mm-hmm.
and that maybe could just be what I'm remembering, but I definitely have not watched the first one in a long time, so
yeah, it's been a minute for me as well.
But yeah, I think for me, this was a fun movie. I'm going to look at some trivia. Do we want to take a little break before I do that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, we are back. The first trivia is about how this is the shortest MCU film.
Yup.
Oh, I could have just looked at the trivia. Lashana Lynch, who plays Maria Rambeau, is younger in real life than Tayona Paris, who the actress is portraying her daughter. Wow, that's wild. But, you know, they're supposed to be the same age, I guess. So,
wait, what?
Like, the actress who plays Monica is older than the actress who plays Maria, but, you know, they're supposed to be different, you know, generations, but.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
It says, Carol, Monica, and Kamala switching places when they use their powers is an homage to Marvel's original Captain Marvel comic series from the 60s and 70s, in which Captain Mar-Vell would swap places with his teen sidekick Rick Jones whenever he struck the Nega Bands on his wrists together.
Oh, and so now in this one, Kamala does have both bangles.
Well, she gets them in the movie.
She gets them.
Yeah.
But she's not going to wear both of them? Because at the end of the movie, she was still only wearing one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if she wore both, then she could, like, bend time and space or whatever. But wouldn't that mean that they could just get Monica back?
Right? No? Yeah?
Okay. Nia DaCosta, who's the director of this, is the fourth woman to direct an MCU film after Anna Boden for the first Captain Marvel, Kate Shortland for Black Widow, and Chloe Zhao for Eternals. I looked at other stuff Nia DaCosta directed and wrote, and she did recently that Candyman movie that was supposed to be...
Oh, the scary one?
The scary one, yes, the remake of Candyman. So that looks pretty good.
I don't know about that. You know me and scary movies.
Yeah, I mean, same. I want to read this spoiler. This is a kind of a long one, but I think it's important. At the end, Ms. Marvel appears in Kate Bishop's apartment, asking if she thought she was the only kid superhero in the world. This mirrors Nick Fury appearing in Tony Stark's mansion at the end of Iron Man. She then tells Kate she's putting together a team and not to the Young Avengers superhero group. It's also an apparent secondary nod to the scene from Hawkeye when Florence Pugh's Yelena also surprises Kate Bishop. Similarly, when Kamala only directly references Ant-Man's daughter in her chat with Kate as a fellow kid superhero, she's found in Sabre's covert files. Yelena herself is likely a contender as one of the characters in a future Young Avengers series, even if, like Kate, she's well into her 20s. And they are making that new show with Florence Pugh and also, like, the other people involved with, like, there's going to be, like, a new show that has to do with that. Thunderbolts.
Is this the new... Oh. Is this the new, of, like, the new Avengers, like, with Ironheart that's going to be in it or something?
Yes. Where we're heading? We've got...
Ant-Man's daughter is also a superhero?
Well, she was just in the chat, so I don't know. But this Thunderbolts show, I guess, or movie.
I mean, well, Ant-Man's power is basically just his suit, so it's not like there's anything. Like, he's like Iron Man. Mm-hmm. He just has a suit that does the powers, so I guess anyone could really have it. Okay.
So, in this new Thunderbolts show movie, I don't know when it's coming out, but this cast is absolutely insane. I mean, I don't know if you... I gotta tell you who's
in it. You need to tell me. I'm so out of the loop on everything Marvel. Like, you need to just tell me.
Okay. So Florence Pugh is in it as Yelena, obviously. Wyatt Russell as John Walker. Remember, he was in the the Captain America and Winter Soldier show.
Oh, the evil Captain America? Oh, no.
Yes. Wyatt. Yeah. The maligned Captain America guy who wasn't really Captain America. He's just John Walker. Yeah. Olga Kuryenko, who's Antonia Dracov, Julia Louis-Dreyfus as Valentina Allegra de Fontaine, who is also in that Captain America. Yeah. And Sebastian Stan coming back as Bucky.
Bucky. I love Bucky.
Hannah John Kamen as Ava Starr, who she was in the second Ant-Man movie. She was the baddie in that.
In the second Iron Man. Oh wait, sorry. In
second,
the
second Ant-Man. Man. Yes.
That was. Was that the person that was Ghost?
Yes. Yes, Emily. Oh, wow, gosh. What a memory that you have.
How am I? Don't say that. I'd have the worst memory. I don't know why I'm remembering all this right now.
We've also got David Harbour coming back as Alexei Shostakov.
You were about to say David Harbour coming back as Hellboy.
Was oh like, my nope, God, no.
Wrong. I just recently watched the first Hellboy movie, so that's why I'm thinking about that.
then we have two additions.
Hellboy is a comic book character.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
We have two additions to the cast, and they don't have who they are yet. Ayo Edebiri.
Oh.
And Steven Yeun.
Oh.
And then I guess the rounding out of this cast is Harrison Ford as Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Try again.
This is what the tagline is, which is exactly like the Suicide Squad. A group of supervillains are recruited to go on missions for the government.
No. This is going to be that.
It's
no.
going to be that. It's going to be that.
Is Saber like the new Shield? Is that what that is?
That's okay. That's what it is. Yeah.
Was Saber brought up? When did Saber come in? Is this after like Civil War when Hydra basically took over Shield or something? And then Saber had to come in?
That makes sense.
I'm trying to remember.
Well, also, we have not watched the series Invasion yet on Disney Plus. Secret Invasion. I don't know what happens in that show at all. I have literally no concept of that show, so.
Yeah, I mean, maybe watching that before watching this maybe would have been helpful. Maybe.
Other than Nick Fury, no crossover at all. Like,
and the Skrulls.
The Skrulls. Oh, they're in Secret Invasion?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought.
Okay.
Is that what that is?
I don't know, but it didn't. All right, I don't know. Okay,
we're gonna talk about Secret Invasion at some point. We just haven't watched it, so look out for that eventually. And Loki season two. I'm on episode two of season two after my rewatch of season one.
Okay,
so we'll get to that eventually as well.
That's it for trivia.
That's it for the trivia. Let me do these plot keywords. We've got kitten, Marvel Comics, superhero, sequel, heroine.
Kitten is the first one. Kitten. That is so cute. I mean, I love it.
Kitten.
Okay. Wonderful. This movie got a 50 Metascore. With 23 positive.
Which is decent.
Yeah,
that's fine. A Guy Ritchie film.
Yeah.
A little low for a Guy Ritchie film, but it's a Guy Ritchie film.
This got 23 positive, 25 mixed, and 9 negative reviews, with Emily the lowest being a 0.
No! Oh my zero. God. All right. Hold on.
I can't.
Come on.
Oh,
are you serious? There's
absolutely like sick burns in these bottom liners that you have to say. They're insane.
Really? Okay. All right. The New York Post gave it a 0. In order, bland, annoying, and misused. Oof.
The 20 Irish Times says, all involved deserve better.
Wow.
The Wall Street Journal 30 says, what can't they do? Properly craft a shot, for one thing.
Okay. Okay. Let's take a step back here. All right. My goodness.
Okay.
Oh my God, I need to do the Roger Ebert one.
Okay.
It brings me absolutely no joy to report that The Marvels is terrible and the worst film yet in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm sure there is a worse one. I am sure.
I'm sure. And it is Ant-Man, the most recent three. Ant-Man movie.
Quantumania. Ant-Man. Ant-Man 3 Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, it's the worst.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, I'm going to read the 50 from Chicago Sun-Times. It says, The Marvels has kind of a 1990s B-movie vibe throughout, and is neither as funny nor as engaging and warm as it tries to be. Despite the best efforts of the talented director Nita Costa and a trio of gifted and enormously likable leads in Brie Larson, Tiona Paris, and Iman Vellani.
That's nice.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that, too.
Okay.
People are just...
Is this the most memorable Marvel movie? Probably not. But it was a... I would watch this again. I would.
Yeah, the 75 playlist says it's a solid aspirant crowd pleaser that may not reinvent the wheel, but it proudly boasts a good enough set of them and confidently stays on the tracks.
Is part of my rewatch just so I can see Seo Joon Park again? That's maybe like...
The whole singing scene.
It's maybe like 40% of it.
Maybe you should watch a K-drama with him in it, dude.
Oh my God. Hold on. I'm going to find one right now. And I'm going to tell you which one I'm going to watch. Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go.
You let me know, buddy.
He's in Parasite!
Who is he in Parasite? Is he the brother?
Min. I don't remember who that was.
Okay.
Okay, he's in a lot of stuff. I'm probably gonna have to.
You can't just pick one.
Okay. I feel like I've heard of What's Wrong with Secretary Kim. I think I've heard of this one before. Oh yes, this poster looks very familiar.
I gotta see. I think he is the brother in Parasite.
Yeah, he might.
I think he is. Yeah, he was great in that movie. So they just really dolled him up in this Marvels movie, though. Like, because you know he's like he looks completely different than what he does look like in Parasite. So
I feel like I've also heard of Record of Youth.
This one, he had that long, luscious hair. Oh my God, this like poster of him for the movie is. Oh, wow. The breeze is, like, going through his hair. It's amazing.
Okay. I'll have to get back to you because I don't know which one he's, like, the main character. Probably this one. Okay. It's What's Wrong with Secretary Kim. That's the one I'm going to watch.
That's the one you're going to watch? I love that.
He's a main character. He's on, like, he's the one of the top two. Okay. That's what's going to happen.
Okay.
All right. Decided. Amazing. Decided. Okay. I'll come back. I'll give updates in the toppings.
Okay, you want to read the 90 from Screen Rant?
Yeah. Sorry if you can hear my horrible mouse scrolling. Mm. I don't think it's that loud. My mouse is very silent, so I'm pretty sure it's fine. Okay, Screen Rant 90. The Marvels is an uproariously fun and action-packed comic book movie that's made all the more delightful by the heartwarming dynamic of the leads.
Dude, was that written by ChatGPT? My goodness. It's a horrible, horrible blurb.
I thought it was nice.
There's no substance to that blurb at all.
I'm going to read the Observer 88 as well. Here's the main thing you need to know about The Marvels, the 33rd movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay, yes, continue.
Okay. It's fun. That shouldn't be revelatory revelatory, since comic book movies are supposed to be uplifting blockbuster entertainment. But it's both a surprise and a relief that Nia DaCosta's MCU debut is genuinely enjoyable.
100%. Honestly,
there you go.
It's more enjoyable than The Eternals, so...
Which, yes. I mean, enjoyable, yes. But was Eternals a vibe? Yes.
It was a vibe. It was a vibe.
I'm here for the vibes. If it's got a good vibe, if it's got a vibe, it doesn't have to be a good vibe. If it's just a vibe,
yeah.
More than likely, I'm here for it.
Okay. I think we're done now.
Are we done? Is that it?
Yeah.
We done vibing?
Yeah, we're done vibing.
All right. That was the Marvels. If you haven't seen it and you don't really have anything else to do, watch it. Watch it, man. I mean, it's only an hour and 45 minutes. Just go fucking sit your ass down and watch it. if you enjoyed that episode, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and IMDb. We are also on Amazon Music, Spotify, and Acast. If you want to email us, please do that at allbythepopcornpodcast@gmail.com. Yes, I did email. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I lost myself for a second. If you want to follow our social media, we've got some of those. We've got Facebook and TikTok and Instagram and YouTube.
Yeah.
Just search All By The Popcorn or All By The Popcorn Podcast. And we have merch. So please check that out. It's almost the holidays. It's almost Christmas. Get your friend or family their favorite podcast merch.
I love how you say that every year. It's amazing.
I mean, literally buy it any time, please.
This is our seventh year of this podcast, and it's great.
Use coupon code KITTEN to get
$10. No, there's no coupon codes. I'm sorry.
I'm kidding. I'm sorry. We're not popular enough for that. All right. That's it. Thanks for listening. Bye. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.